Today we're going to go back into the Old Testament. We are going to go back to the story of Moses, or at least one of the stories of Moses. I want us to take a look at the incident that occurred at the burning bush. This is where God spoke to Moses, and Moses talked back to God into the bush. You know, as we think about the life of Moses, at this point in time, Moses had already experienced a life-shattering failure. You see, he killed an Egyptian soldier who was beating one of the fellow Hebrew slaves. And as a result of this, he literally had to run for his life. And he came to a desert in Midian. And he spent the next 40 years serving as a shepherd of his father-in-law. No doubt at this point, Moses must have felt pretty much useless in his life. For you see, he had gone from a prince of Egypt to a shepherd boy. He spent 40 years tending sheep, and the prior 40 years living in Egypt in line for a crown. So he must have felt pretty bad about himself. But you know, Moses was so wrong. Because even though he had failed, even though he had messed up his life, God still used him. In matter of fact, God specializes, as we read throughout the whole scripture, in working with those who have made major mistakes in life. For example, Abraham, father of many nations, Abraham. On two occasions, Abraham, in trying to protect himself, lied twice about his wife Sarah, telling Pharaoh and later on King Abimelech that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Now that would have been, I guess you might say, a half lie, because the fact is they were half brother and sister. They had the same father, but they had different mothers. We also find later on in Abraham's life that God had promised him an heir, him and Sarah, an heir that would lead, of course, we know, to the birth of Christ. When Sarah was unable to conceive, Abraham took it upon himself to get that heir through someone else. Again, going against God's word. So Abraham was an imperfect person, yet God used him. We also find King David. King David, which was a man after God's own heart, as the scripture says, he made his share of major mistakes in his life. He had sins which included adultery, deception, murder, which adultery and murder under the old law, the consequences were death. Yet God did not take his life. God continued to use him for his purposes. Well, what about Jonah? Jonah was told to go to Nineveh to preach to the people, an entire city of people who had turned against God. Jonah did not like Nineveh, did not like the people who lived in Nineveh, and had no intention of going to Nineveh. So he boards a ship heading for Tarsus, which we know is in Spain, fleeing from God. He winds up in the belly of a fish because he disobeyed God. So he didn't get it right the first time, did he? But yet God continued to work through him. What about Rahab the harlot? a prostitute who God used to give his people victory at Jericho. In fact, she ends up in the lineage of Jesus and was one member in the Faith Hall of Fame that we read of in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we have the great Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter who denied Jesus three times on the night of Jesus' betrayal. He thought he was through following Jesus. But Jesus was not through with him. He used Peter. And Peter went on to become a great leader in the days of the church. In our story of Moses, we are going to discover, as he discovers, God is going to use imperfect people to accomplish his purposes. Part of the reason that God uses imperfect people to establish his purposes is because there are no perfect people on this earth. If he is going to use people, it is going to be imperfect people. Another reason that God uses imperfect people is to show that if the person doesn't matter. But it is God who is behind the person and the person working through God that accomplishes the things in life. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us." Paul is basically saying here, we are nothing more than jars of clay. And it is not the pot that matters, but it is what fills the pot that matters. And who fills the pot? God fills the pot. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we are flawed. But God fills us with his power and his righteousness, and he enables us to carry out the good that he wants carried out. We must learn not to rely on ourselves, but upon God. So with this thought in mind, I want us to take a close look at this story of Moses. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, as he was the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Today, God is going to break a 40-year silence with Moses. For four decades in Midian, we have no record at all of God speaking to Moses. But this day, God is going to shatter his silence in a way that is absolutely unbelievable. But isn't that the way God usually works anyway? In an unbelievable way. Moses saw through the bush. And even though it was burning, it did not burn up. So Moses thought to himself, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush burn? But yet it does not burn up. This was a remarkable sight to see. It is something that you and I have never seen before. When you put something on fire, what happens to it? It burns. It burns. Now, the bush itself, there was nothing remarkable about this bush. There were hundreds, thousands of bushes in the desert of Midian. But what was happening to this bush was different. It was remarkable because it kept burning and burning and burning, and yet it did not burn up. But you know, in all of this, I doubt very seriously that it ever dawned on Moses that it was God in that bush. This was God's way of getting Moses' attention. You ever seen anything unusual that got your attention? Let me tell you one incident that happened to me. Pat and I, we were engaged, and I had just began working with a church in Rogersville, Alabama, as their assistant minister and youth director. This was about, it was the summer of 1984. We married in September of 1984, and I went up to Rogersville, lived in the house part-time. They had a house there that we were allowed to live in, and I had to be there so much for the insurance to keep up on the house. And I was there, and I was cutting grass in the backyard of the preacher's house in Rogersville. And all of a sudden, for some reason, it started getting darker. Now, we're talking about 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Perfectly clear day. And it started getting dark. Things started to turn gold. As it darkened, the grass turned gold. The buildings turned gold. The trees turned gold as it darkened. And you know what came to my mind? This is the end of time. Yeah. What else could it be? Because everything was darkening. And for some reason, I don't know why, I looked up into the sky and I saw what was almost a 100% solar eclipse. Folks, that got my attention. And I was so relieved when I realized what was actually taking place. It actually made pretty easy, because then I could cut grass without the sun in my eyes. Sometimes it takes something unusual to get your attention. This burning bush definitely got Moses' attention. We go on a little farther and we read in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Now notice here that God did not speak to Moses until he saw that he had Moses' attention. You know, unfortunately, most of them aren't as inquisitive as Moses was. Sometimes we don't respond and give God our attention when he's trying to get our attention. We often don't stop in our tracks and turn aside and consider the things that are happening to us in our lives when God's trying to get our attention. Now, I don't know if God was trying to get my attention while I was out there cutting grass or not. But I want to tell you, he did. Because that's the first thing I thought of. This is the second coming. Moses, he did the right thing. He moved toward the situation. He went toward that burning bush. Which, again, that may be something I would not have done. I don't know. And that's when God spoke to him. Now you talk about a twilight zone experience. When that bush started talking to Moses. Don't know if I'd have turned around and run or not. I don't know. And then he says this. He says, "Do not draw near this place. Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, this is interesting. Think about this for just a minute. What made this ground holy ground? Was it because that bush was sitting there burning and was not burning up? No. Moses was on holy ground because he was standing in the presence of God. Now, Moses walks over to this burning bush. He answers the Lord when the Lord says, Moses. But Moses don't have a clue as to what is about to happen to him. We read in Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, Moses may have been thinking, hey, well, that's a good thing, Lord. I'm glad you're doing this. What does it have to do with me? So let's jump down to verse 10. The Lord has called Moses over to this burning bush for a reason. Come now, therefore, he said, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, this tells me a lot about God. This tells me that God has a tremendous love for these people that goes all the way back to Abraham. Now, if you don't believe that, let's read these words again. I have seen the oppression. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. It may be that you have found yourself in similar situations like the Israelites. Maybe you have found yourself under circumstances that are so harsh and so hard to handle that it makes your heart ache. And you wonder why doesn't God do something here? And you wonder if he sees what you're going through, and you wonder if he even cares what you're going through. My friends, we need to know today that God is aware of the problems that you and I face in life. And we need to be aware, friends, that God cares about the problems that we face in life. He is touched with our infirmities. And he wants to help us. Now, what is Moses' response to this? Say what? Send me to Pharaoh? You want me to do what? Moses is trying to think now, all right, how can I get out of this? What can I do? What can I say so I don't have to do this? Has anybody ever done that before? Will, raise your hand. Will just did it to me a few minutes ago. And a lot of other people as well. Have we ever done that? Sure. We immediately begin to think of how we can get out of doing something. Human nature, I guess. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go with the story. Through the burning bush, God is giving Moses a second chance. Even though Moses didn't have a clue what was about to happen when he got there, and even though he used excuse after excuse after excuse not to do what God had asked him to do, God is going to give this man a second chance. And there's a great lesson that I think we can learn from this. Only one thing. And here it is. Pay attention to God when he calls. That's it. I could say, come while we stand and sing, and I couldn't say anything else that would be more important than this right here. Pay attention to God when he calls. When God was trying to get Moses' attention through the burning bush, Moses was willing to listen. Now, he didn't like what he heard, and he tried to get out of it, but Moses listened to God. Let me ask you, you know when God is trying to get your attention. Do you listen? Do you stop in your tracks to listen? Has God allowed you to fall on your face, hoping that you would look to Him for direction? Has God slowed you down and put you on your back so that you could not function normally to get your attention? Has God even maybe through other things in your life, maybe your job, maybe a house fire, maybe even a brush with death, has He done this to you trying to get your attention? You know, sometimes God will call us through the storm instead of calling us in a calm way. And I'm not saying that everything that happens in our lives is a message from God's burning bush. I'm not saying that at all. But we know when something's not right. We know when we need to make changes. And we know that God knows these things and is trying to tell us that we need to make changes. The question is, do we find ourselves avoiding God? Do we find ourselves too busy to pay attention? Do we have our minds focused on what we think are more important matters than what matters to God? My friends, we need to be ready to pause and ask the question, could God be saying something to me? Could He be trying to get me to see things maybe a little differently than I want to see them? We need to learn to pay attention to God when He calls. Another thing we learn from this story is that when we fail, do we have anyone in here who has not? I didn't think so. When we fail, failure isn't necessarily fatal or final. If it was, no one would be here today. Any old bush in the wilderness would have been suitable for God's purposes here, because the power was not in the bush. The power was in the Lord. And what is true about bushes is also true about people. God can use anyone, to accomplish His purpose in life. And as I mentioned earlier, the only people that are available to God are imperfect people. It may be that God has used one of us to accomplish one of His purposes in life. And there's nothing perfect about anyone in here. But God uses us anyway. Paul said that it is Christ living in us that makes the difference. Colossians 1 verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He uses us. He uses me and you to accomplish His purpose of reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. And yes, we're all going to fail. Yes, we're all going to sin. But that sin and that failure does not disqualify us from God's family or from carrying out God's mission. We still have that responsibility. Now, it's true that when we fail, when we sin, we must correct that sin, or we must ask for forgiveness of that sin. And we must change our lives not to sin again. But it must be learned that we are not disqualified to serve God. You know, in many respects, our failures makes us more qualified to serve the Lord than our achievements do. Because I have learned many more lessons from mistakes than I have from doing something right. You know, this is true from some of the greatest people that have ever walked the face of this earth. Y'all recognize this man? Thomas Edison. Who in here ever really thought of Thomas Edison as a failure? He created so many things that have made life so much better for every one of us. In this room, it's because of all the lights that we see in here. He started all of that, you know. Never thought of him as a failure. But you know, this man tried more than 1,000 times to perfect that light bulb. 1,000 failures before he finally got it right. Now, have you ever failed 1,000 times in trying to do something? Who in here would even try 1,000 times before you gave up? Actually, Edison didn't think of his failed experiments as failures. He regarded them as steps in a long process. My friends, we must never give up in serving God. And we must always be willing to pay attention to God when he has asked us to do something. Because God certainly does not give up on us. So I ask you this morning, do you pay attention to God when he calls? Have you listened to him? Have you let him guide you in your life? Have you let him lead you and direct you down that narrow path and move you in the right direction? I want to tell you this morning, my friends, today, if you are not a Christian, God is trying to get your attention. He is trying to get you to understand that you need him. You need to be a part of him. You need to obey him. And if you have not done that, it is imperative, my friends, for you to live in eternity. You must obey him. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. And obey him. Because he wants you in his life. And Christian friend, if you have disregarded God's attempt to get your attention, you need to listen again. If you have let the world come back into your life, if you have let sin overpower you, God is calling you. God is trying to get your attention. Come back to me. Live for me again. And let the world go. It's a burning bush. And God is calling us from it. He is giving us a second chance. Listen to him. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.